We read from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me,' because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I've heard it said, in fact, I think I've used it in a sermon before, that John, the Gospel of John, tells the simplest Christmas story of all. There are no shepherds, no angels, no wise men, no Mary or Joseph, no baby lying in a manger, no frankincense, no gold, no myrrh, no star. Only this, four words, the Word became flesh. Or maybe there are eight, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. At the very most, whether you count in the original Greek or in English, 13 very simple words. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. I thought that was the simplest version of the Christmas story. And then I found out I was wrong when I received a phone call from a friend who has a 3-year-old daughter. She was calling because she needed a professional seminary answer to her daughter's questions about Christmas. They're not big churchgoers, but they're putting up a tree and planning Christmas celebrations. And the 3-year-old, in that way that 3-year-olds tend to do, was asking questions. What is Christmas? Why do we have it? What does it mean? Why? And my friend had called me for an answer. And I said, "Well, what did you say when she asked you?" And when she told me, I thought there was nothing I could do really to improve on the answer she had given. What is Christmas? Why do we have it? What does it mean? Why? And she said, God had a kid. And it was a big deal. We can get theological, and we can spin great webs about incarnation, and many people have written many books with many wise sayings about what exactly it means that we have Christmas and that God came into the world. But I don't know if you can do better than that simple answer, that God had a kid. And it was a big deal. You see, Christmas is quite a mystery. And yet it's also quite simple. It's easy to get caught up in the shepherds and the wise men and the gold and the frankincense and the cookies and the garland and the presents. But it's really quite simple and elegant, this gospel that we proclaim. It turns out that my friend is on to something, in the same way that John is when he tells his simple 13-word Christmas story. Christmas is no more or less than the whole fullness of God, all the presence and glory and height and depth and width and breadth and richness of God come as a baby to live among us and to save us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God had a kid. And that child was full of grace and truth. And the whole thing was a big deal. In the words we heard in our first lesson, we hear Jeremiah, who knows what a big deal it is when God breaks into human history and saves people. People were in exile and far away, and Jeremiah says, when God brings them back, when they encounter God and the saving action of a powerful Lord, Jeremiah says, young women will dance, and the young and old together will be merry. They will no longer languish, but their lives will flourish like a garden. Mourning is turned into joy, gladness is given in exchange for sorrow, and everyone, from the oldest to the youngest, the lame, the blind, even the women in labor, all people, sing and shout and give praise and proclaim that God does and God will always come for God's people and lead us the way the shepherd leads a flock. Jeremiah says that when a good thing happens, when a God thing happens, then the people shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord. This much is clear. People who behold God's glory simply radiate. It pours forth from them. There is no stopping it. And John is clear. John is clear that at Christmas, in the incarnation, when Word became flesh, we have seen God's glory. We have beheld God's glory. No one has seen God, but through Christ, we know something of who God is. So I think I'm going to add 6 words to my count of John's simple Christmas story, because you may have noticed it doesn't actually say the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. What it actually says is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. You see, that's the big deal. Not so much that a historical event happened. Christmas is more than an anniversary or simply remembering a historical event. This is not like knowing which day the War of 1812 began, or celebrating the 10 or 20 or 30 year anniversary of some tragic or wonderful event. This is Christmas. And it is a big deal because in Christmas we behold God's glory. We have seen his glory at Christmas through Scripture, in the Word made flesh. And as Jeremiah already told us, people who behold God's glory radiate. They cannot help but be different. We cannot help but be different because we have seen the glory of the Lord, because we have experienced Christmas. It's not just that Christmas is wonderful and holy and world-changing, which it most assuredly is. It's that Christmas is holy and wonderful and world-changing and life-changing. We worship a God who was born humbly, whose parents laid him in a feed trough where animals ate hay. So it makes sense that we would be called to be a humble people. We serve a God who, though he was full and glorious and powerful, put on flesh, weak human flesh, and dwelt among the people as Emmanuel, God with us. So it's only natural that we would be called to put flesh on the things that we believe, to flesh out the things that we say in these walls and dwell out there among the people whom God loves. We have seen God's glory, and so it only makes sense. It is only fitting that we would radiate forth the light which we have beheld. It reflects off of us as if we were a mirror for what God has already done. John is right. No one's ever seen God. And it's only Christ who made God known. But we call ourselves Christians. And we believe that we know the Christ. So as his followers, who have received grace upon grace, layers and layers and layers until we are all covered up with grace, we've got work to do in making that grace known, in reflecting it, in radiating it out into the world, which is hungering for good news. John is right when he says that the light was and is the life of all the people. So we know that we have to take that light out into the world. Not just tiny flames on candles on Christmas Eve, but the bounteous and glorious light of God's grace. The gospel is true. Christmas is true. God really came into the world and was really born. And whether John remembers the details or not, the truth is there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And if we have been paying attention, if our eyes and ears are open, if we have not let other things get in the way, then we too have beheld his glory. So it becomes our business, our call, our life's ambition, our project, and maybe our Christmas wish and our New Year's resolution to work on being full of grace and truth, to work on radiating God's goodness. That means radiating God's goodness in every relationship. whether that be with a little three-year-old who has a lot of questions, or an older person who moves rather slowly, or a difficult relative, or your spouse, or someone else who is around you, full of grace and truth in your relationships. It means radiating God's goodness and being full of grace and truth at your workplace, wherever that is. Even with your most difficult employee, even in when those meetings run long, even when you think you cannot stand one more time if that guy calls me again, on the way to every goal, in the face of every disappointment, radiating God's goodness, being full of grace and truth. Despite how you've been wronged, or what you think they deserve, or how wrong you know they are because of their political beliefs or their past actions or your own impatience. Radiating goodness and truth and grace. Even when the world is turned upside down and unpredictable, even in uncertainty, even in this congregation, as you let go of past things and welcome new things, radiating God's goodness, full of grace and truth, in your marriages and your partnerships and your workplaces and your families, behind the wheel of your car when you sit in traffic and in line at the grocery store, in the good conversations and in the hard conversations that need to happen. Around the dinner table, when we are in control and when everything spins out of control, with our time and our talents and our money and our very lives, when we are living and when we are dying, full of grace and truth, because that's who God is, and that's who God has called us to be in Christ. It's a simple and true and beautiful and wonderful story that God had a kid. And it was a big deal. It changed the whole world. And I hope that it changes each one of you, each one of us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we have seen His glory. Christmas calls us. In fact, Christ calls us to hear and believe the story again, over and over, every year, no matter how familiar the words become, regardless of our traditions or where we are at Christmas. We are called to hear and believe the story again, and in so doing, to behold God's glory and to receive grace upon grace. And then to be radiant with God's goodness and full of grace and truth, and to pour our entire lives into living out, into fleshing out God's love for this hurting and broken world. May that be your Christmas wish, and may it be your New Year's and your everyday resolution. Amen.